Hi, this is Max.
And this is Emily. For the past few months, we've been focused on making a narrative documentary series connected to our past reporting on Gaza. It's still in the works, and we'll have more to share soon.
But we're coming to you today with heartbreaking news. On Monday, July 28th, Auda Hadaline, an activist, teacher, father, and friend, was murdered in his village of Umm Al Khair in the West Bank by an Israeli settler. He was just 31. There are detailed accounts from eyewitnesses and journalists that lay out exactly what happened. We'll link to those in the show notes.
We're thinking of his wife and three young children, his family, and everyone around the world who knew and loved him. I first met Auda in 2016, before we started Unsettled, while I was on a delegation with the Center for Jewish Nonviolence. Through Auda's work with CJNV and other activist groups, he welcomed hundreds from around the world to Umm Al Khair and Masafer Yatta. Back then, he was not yet a teacher or a husband or a father. He became these things over time, and it devastates me that we will not get to see what else he may have become.
Auda was a guest several times on this podcast over the years, so while we may not have known him the best or the longest, we do have a fair amount of tape.
In remembrance of Auda, we want to share some excerpts from those interviews. Some of what you'll hear today has aired previously on Unsettled, and some we're sharing for the first time.
Instead of putting together this compilation, I want so badly to be sending voice notes back and forth with Auda on WhatsApp, trying to find a time to catch up. I want to hear about Auda's kids and tell him about mine. This will have to do.
If you knew Auda personally, we hope the sound of his voice brings some comfort. And if you didn't, we hope that his call for justice and his steadfastness in the face of unrelenting violence inspires and guides you.
Auda believed in the power of sharing a story, and we hope to honor his memory by sharing some of his story in his own words in this episode.
In 2017, I went back to the West Bank and Umm Al Khair with the Center for Jewish Nonviolence. By then, Unsettled was starting to take shape, and I recorded a conversation with Auda, although we never used it on the podcast.
My name is Auda Al Hadaline. I am from Umm Al Khair. I was born in 1994.
Hey, me too!
Thank you. I studied at school here, then left to Yatta to continue my studying. When I finished the 12th grade Tawjihi, I take an apartment at Hebron to study at university. Now I'm finishing my studies. After 1 month, I will graduate. But I hope to find anyone or any organization can help me to continue in a master's degree.
What do you study now?
Yeah. I'm studying English teaching method.
Okay.
I want all the people here in Umm Al Khair village, my village, know English language, because English language now is the technology language, is the world language. All the world know English language. You can send your story by Arabic to the people who can speak or read Arabic, but it's not all of them.
Mm-hmm. So when you finish your studies, do you plan to work in the school over there?
Yes, I will be a teacher, inshallah.
Inshallah.
In the school there. If I found a job like a translator, I will be.
Okay.
It's too good. I love this.
So I was wondering if you could tell me just a little bit about what it's like to live in Umm Al Khair and if that has changed at all, you know, over time.
Life in Umm Al Khair is too difficult. We are suffering from a lot of things. Electricity is forbidden. Water is forbidden. We have water just for 7 hours per week. Water is not enough for sheep, for cooking, washing, for people. It's not enough for it all. And we cannot build anything. We are suffering from the demolition. This is the most horrifying things.
And can you tell me which homes and buildings have been demolished? I know there are multiple.
There are a lot of buildings which demolished. The first one, Umm Al Khair Community Center, demolished 3 times. Also, my mother's house demolished 2 times. Every demolition, we find more than 12 or 13 people homeless, without any home. our ladies and the men of Umm al-Khayr, every day in the morning, they check the road of Umm al-Khayr to see if the bulldozers came or not. We expect a demolition every day. All of the children, we have a big problem now. All of the children, when they say any car belong to Israeli government or any bulldozers or any army, they will cry. They have a mental problems. It's too bad.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain the difference between the settlement that came in 1980s and the new settlement, the part that doesn't have a fence? Can you describe the difference?
Yeah. We came here in 1948, before the settlement. The settlement came here and built their houses in 1982. Then they bring a new kind of settlers. Not like the old settlers, they are too bad. They harass all the people here. They are want to take everything here. They hate Palestinians. They hate all the people in Umm al-Khayr. When the demolition happened in Umm al-Khayr, they stand in the settlement and loving. They laugh about us.
What is it like for Umm al-Khayr to work with a group of international Jews?
I worked with the Center for Jewish Nonviolence for 2 years. This is the second one. Mm-hmm. I am too happy because we did a lot of working. I met a new friends from all the world. Mm-hmm. All of them are too kind. and I love them because when they lived, they didn't forget us. They also post on Facebook, on all the social media about Umm al-Khayr. They wrote in the magazines. They always talk about Umm al-Khayr. And the residents of Umm al-Khayr, they say that we aren't alone. The world know our story. It's something good because we know that not all of the people who have the Judaism religion are bad. Not all of them are bad. I like the word, the sentence which said, occupation is not our Judaism. Mm-hmm. I love this sentence.
Is there anything else that you want to say about Umm al-Khayr?
Yeah. I want to say another thing, but this is for you. I want to thank you very much
for asking me. Of course.
Yeah, and you are welcome in Umm al-Khayr. You are one of the closest friend of us. And we hope to see you again in Umm al-Khayr next year.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. And have a nice day.
Thank you.
I met Auda at the tail end of 2019 on another CJNV delegation. I documented my experience on this trip for an Unsettled miniseries we called The Birthday Party. That was the code name for a direct action that was the focal point of the trip. I visited Umm al-Khayr several times over the course of that week, but I had my longest conversation with Auda the night before the action, on the patio of a hotel in Bethlehem. You'll also hear the voice of Auda's cousin Tariq and a British activist named Lily.
The first morning I met you, you said you turned down a job as an English teacher, right? You were going to be an English teacher and you said no?
Yeah, this year I said no, but so last year I was a teacher with the Ministry of Education and I was teaching in one of the schools in one of the cities which is close to Umm al-Khayr. So this year they offered me a job, but why I refused because they told me you will teach in a school. It's really far from Umm al-Khayr. The salary, it's not that much. It's like around 2,000 shekel. And if the transportation will cost me like per month, like around 1,000, you know, like 200 shekel. So it doesn't make sense, you know, to teach all the month for, you know, 800 shekel. But if it's like really close, even if it's free, I mean, the people of Umm al-Khayr, I will be glad to teach. So now I'm a teacher, but like not a formal one, like in a school. I teach the people in Umm al-Khayr Community Center, and also like the children of Umm al-Khayr go to study in the closest school, and the children are lucky, you know, because Tariq is their teacher. So you can say Tariq is a teacher in a school, I'm a teacher in the home. Yeah.
So I heard you recently got married?
Yeah.
Yeah? Tell me about the wedding.
Yeah, so the wedding was amazing, and yeah, to be honest, like in the beginning when I told my community that I'm gonna invite my international friends,
for the wedding, you like, for some of them it was a weird or strange idea. Yeah, but I'm proud to say that it's the first Bedouin wedding with the internationals. And you know, like, if you know, like, the Bedouin wedding, it's like around 1 week, it's not 1 day. Yeah, so my international friends came to the wedding and we celebrated together, we sang together, you know, it was something amazing. So on the last day of the wedding, it was like a lunch. So like the people who came for the lunch, they were really so many people, more than 1,000. Yeah, yeah. So what happened, you know, like the military came and they took the Palestinian flags. Because we put a Palestinian flag, it's a tradition also in any wedding. You put a Palestinian flag, and the military came early morning, and they were, you know, like driving all the day around the wedding. So they scared the people, the children. So it's the only thing which was not good in the wedding. The other things, like, which we control, everything was perfect. But anyway, I'm married like since 4 months, and I think for me, if you will marry the person you love, you will be happy and you will be lucky, honestly.
You're gonna have baby soon?
Not soon, yani, you know. But I will not have a farm like the Bedouins, to be honest. 3, yani, maximum. 3 children maximum. But it's not the time yet.
Tariq explained to me why he, unlike Auda, wasn't planning to get married anytime soon.
So I need the right person to meet, to get married with. So she can support me with this. I don't want to end up having a wife that she doesn't like. So we fight all the time on things.
Support you? You mean support the activism?
To support me, the activism. Like, yeah. So Auda got the opportunity to meet someone that supports him with this activism. So once you get the opportunity to have someone that understands this, then why not?
I will help you in this, if you are serious.
You know that I'm not serious.
Okay. So don't make fun of the married guys. When you will marry, you will be more wise. So I can give you, you know, like, advices now.
Again, this conversation was the night before a direct action, which had been meticulously planned and rehearsed by Palestinians from across Masafer Yatta and the international activists who had traveled to join them.
How are you feeling about tomorrow?
About tomorrow, maybe for the people like who are coming from abroad, maybe like they're stressed, they are worried, because like they didn't live this or experience this before, or maybe like some of them did. But for me, you know, like, it's okay, like, I'm sure I'm excited, but it will be a normal day. It will be a normal day, like, all of our life, all of our days is like this.
Earlier that day, everyone who was going to take part in the action had to decide how much risk they were willing to take on, and to choose a group accordingly. Red group for high risk, green for low risk.
I decided, you know, like, to be in the green. For many different reasons, you know. One of them, like, I don't want to be arrested. Like, I already got arrested many times before, and I spend a few months in the jail, and, like, I know, like, how they treat the people and all these things. Even, you know, like, the last time they targeted me and another Palestinian guy, and, like, we ran a lot. Yeah. So I decided this time that I will be in the green. Yeah, and also, to be honest, that my family, you know, like, they are not okay with arresting, because they know exactly what's happening. If you got arrested before and you were in the jail and, like, they arrest you again, so the problem is, you know, like, they will be more and more. So it's different than the first time. If it's the first time, maybe the things will be a little bit easier, but if they know you, if they know, like, who you are and you already were with them, or, like, they arrested you before, so things will be really hard. So I hope nothing bad will happen, and I will be in the green.
At the same time, Auda, like a lot of the activists, expected something bad to happen during the action. In some ways, the underlying strategy depended on something bad happening.
I really liked the idea. I wanted these people who are coming up from abroad to see exactly what the Palestinians seeing every day. I want them to take our message with them to tell the people, yeah, we want, and we saw this, and we saw this, and we got attacked, and all these things. Because this is our daily life, and we all the time see this. And okay, like if I like talk about what's happening personally, or like anyone from the Palestinians, the message will not reach to the world, or it will not, you know, touch the world. But when the people who are internationals, Jewish, you know, like Israeli people, all these things, send messages, you know, at least the people will hear their message and they will take care of it more than the Palestinians. And I wanted the people to know, like, about exactly what's happening, that the Palestinians who are living, you know, in these, you know, places, they're suffering, and what's going on in the media, like daily media, most of it is fake. The Palestinians, they are not a terrorist. They're just simple people seek about simple rights. And with these people, I think our message will be really strong.
In January 2022, Auda's uncle, Haj Suleiman, was killed by Israeli forces as he tried to prevent them from confiscating Palestinian cars. Haj Suleiman was a beloved elder in Umm El Khair and had been a symbol of resistance across the area for decades.
When I got on the phone with Auda about a year later, in January 2023, he was still mourning the loss of Haj Suleiman, but he also had happy news.
You have a new baby. I wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you so much. I had a new baby just like 10 days ago, the second one. I have two now.
10 days ago? Wow.
Yeah, I have two now. One of them like 2 years and a half, and the second one is like a few days.
How is it being a new dad?
I mean, it's really a great feeling, but I mean, not here in Masafriyat. Because like here, like when I think about their future, both of them, I mean, it's really like dark future. You don't know, you know, like what they will face, what life they will live. And, you know, like it's really hard. It's really complicated situation when you cannot, I mean, like guarantee that your children will get, I mean, like life better than yours, especially like if you suffered all of your life. Yeah, it's really hard. It's a really hard situation. Since a few months, it's the worst since years.
How has it gotten worse?
I mean, like now the army who's controlling all the area, the attacks are really getting more. The demolition, it's getting, you know, like double more. They are raiding the houses at night. They're confiscating all the cars. There's no cars now here.
So how are you able to get? Are you able to get around? Are you able to get to work?
I mean, like we go, but there is a lot of difficulties. Honestly, tonight they were chasing one of the cars. Yeah, I mean, like they really made the situation much harder for everyone here. You know, like you cannot build, your house will be destroyed. They will raid your house. They will put checkpoints at the entrance of your village. Even if they are sure that you are from the area, they will stop you for hours. They will detain you. If your car, you know, like it's not registered, as they mentioned, they will confiscate it. Everything started since the beginning of 2022 when they killed Haj Suleiman. And, you know, like after three cars, like they came to confiscate three Palestinian cars. They put the cars on the truck, and the truck ran over him, and they like pulled him more than 7 meters, you know, like under the truck, and we lost him. Everything started from that day, like 17th of January 2022. After that, they like on May, they declared a new decision to evict and, you know, like displace 8 villages, which means that 1,300 to 400 people will be homeless. I mean, like all the area here in Masaf Riyata, they declare it as a military, you know, like training area. So just imagine like the tanks and, you know, like the bulldozers, and they shoot just, you know, like in the middle of the houses. And now they have a new strategy. They are bringing new settlers in the Palestinian mountains close to every village and offer the settler everything he wants to live, with also like a big number of sheep and goats. And that settler with his gun prevent all the Palestinian shepherds from going, you know, like any meter around. Now, I mean, like our sheep and our goats, we cannot take them, I mean, like outside at all.
They literally waiting just to take the sheep out because they will cause us troubles. They are not taking, you know, like anything outside because like they will attack the shepherds, they will steal the goats, they will attack the people. To be honest with you, I'm 28 years old. I have a lot of experiences about, you know, like bad things with Shai and my family faced from the occupation. But believe me, this year is really the worst. The only happy thing which happened this year that I had a baby, I mean, like 10 days ago. The rest of the year is really the worst. The rest of the year is really, I mean, like, sorry for the word, but it's really shit. What's going on here? It's really unbelievable. Just imagine, like, you are sleeping with your wife, with your son, and the army raiding your house in the middle of the night. And they check everything, you broke everything, and then they leave. Here we are sleeping in houses. We have no guarantee if we will sleep in the same house tomorrow. Maybe like the house will be destroyed. No one knows. You cannot know like how tomorrow will be. I mean, like every day we wait to hear what happened. Now, every day there is something happening. They are attacking this, attacking this guy, that guy, that woman. I mean, any one of us can see and get the attack in any moment. Now the army is 24 hours. 24 hours here. The army took all the cars, everything. Demolition orders, every week there's a demolition order. Every week. And also they put checkpoints at the entrances of the village. They will ask you when you are going out. They will ask you when you are coming in. They will check you. They will, I mean, like, check all the car. I mean, like, everything. I remember when my wife wanted to give a birth, we were running in a car, and I shouted to them that we have an emergency here. And, like, what happened? They were really ready to shoot me while we have, you know, like, a pregnant woman in her last moments. They told me to stop. They told me, I mean, like, to turn off the car. And, you know, like, even like it was an emergency, we stayed around 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I mean, like, we are lucky because we didn't lose the baby. I mean, like, just imagine.
Have you seen a lot of support from outside of the South Hebron Hills?
There is support, but it's totally not enough. It's totally not what we expected. It's totally not, I mean, like, the way we want. It's totally not enough. And unfortunately, like, the activists now, they started to feel scared, I mean, like, from getting here. It's like the number is not like before.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Since years, we are asking the war to do something for the Palestinians here. And we want the people to know. We really want the people to know. I mean, like, if there's any Zooms, any webinars, I mean, like, where we can talk with people to let them know exactly what's happening, we'll be, I mean, like, happy to do it. South Hebron Hills and Misafriyata are not okay. The people here, we are not okay. I mean, like, the hope which we got years ago, the belief which we got years ago, now all of it gone. All of it gone. Now we don't have any hope. Even we, the activists, which we pretend all the time we have hope, believe me, there is no hope.
As bad as things had been in Masafriyata in January 2023, after October 7th, 2023, they got worse. Settler soldier militias were on the rise, and the ability of activists to access Umm El Khair and other villages was restricted. I reached out to Auda.
I don't know if you remember, but I was in Umm El Khair in 2016 and 2017, yeah. It's been a little while.
I know you, and I remember you. Once I saw the picture, immediately I remembered you. I know all of the people who were with CGNV went that. Once we feel that there are people who's in solidarity with us, supporting us, it makes the things, you know, like, a bit easier. I'm not saying that it's solving the issue, no. But it makes us, I mean, like, feel, you know, like, better. So thanks, Amin, for being supporting. And yeah, like I'm here to help you in what you want to do, like podcast, writing, whatever.
Yeah. So how have things been since October 7th? What have things been like? I know you all have been, you know, facing a lot of violence for a long time. So are things different in the past few weeks?
Since, you know, like the beginning of the war, we have been living days that cannot be described at all, you know, very depressing and sad days that drive everyone here to be crazy. There is a lot of fear and, you know, like kind of anticipation or waiting for unknown fate. We don't know what's waiting us. We became completely surrounded now from all of the directions. The entrances of our villages are completely closed. The villages also got separated from each other. And for example, if there's a problem in this village, you will not be able, like, to go to help. You cannot go at all. And also, we cannot drive on the highway at all. And we cannot even reach hospitals, markets, clinics, pharmacies, shops. And the worst of all of that is the settlers' attacks, which have become like terrifying to the people, because they will simply shoot you if they see you. They are not allowing you even to film or to document like before. The first thing that they do once they raid any village or any house, they confiscate all of the phones and they check them. They check your gallery, they check your WhatsApp, they check everything in your phone. And if they find any picture which they don't like, immediately they will start to beat you. They will break your phone in front of your eyes. And sometimes if you, for example, refuse to open your phone, to unlock your phone for them, they will attack you. They will take your phone. And also, like, the worst thing which I'm going to say, that settlers started to threat people that they have to leave their places, otherwise they will be killed, which happened in Susia and also, like, it happened in Umm Al Khair. So the situation is really crazy, you know, like, since the beginning of the war, we didn't sleep at all.
So for these raids, this intimidation, this violence, you know, are these settlers, are these soldiers, are they both? Who is coming to do this?
Now, like, in this moment, there is no settlers and there is no army. You know, like, they are not separated. All of them who were attacking the people, all of them were wearing, I mean, like, soldier uniform. All of them carrying guns.
So, in terms of looking to the future, you know, are people going to leave? Are you going to stay? What are you going to do?
Yeah, first of all, I mean, unfortunately, you know, like, some people from, you know, like, a few villages, they have already left because they were seeing, you know, like, really hard attacks. And also, like, the rest of the villages, they are here. They didn't leave because they don't have any other place to leave. And I think, inshallah, I will pray that no one will leave. We want all of the war to do their best to stop what's happening now, and to stop also, like, the war, because it's really a genocide what's happening in Gaza.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to see. And I'm just wishing and praying that you and your family and everyone is able to stay as safe as possible, and that this ends soon.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Yeah, Allah, bye-bye.
Bye. Just a few weeks ago, in June 2025, Auda and his cousin Eid flew to the United States for a short speaking tour. They had visas from the State Department. But when they arrived at the San Francisco airport, they were held in detention and then turned away.
The day after Auda's death, Umm El Khair was raided by the Israeli military, who arrested several friends and family members. At the time of this recording, Auda's cousins Tarek and Eid are still in jail, while the man who shot Auda was released under house arrest. Israel is reportedly refusing to release Auda's body to his family until the community promises not to bury him in Umm El Khair.
Yeah, for me, what I want, if you'll ask me easily what I want, I will tell you I want a peace and justice, easily.
Our previously released episodes featuring Auda are linked in the show notes. Unsettled is produced by Emily Bell, Max Friedman, and Alana Levinson. Follow us on Instagram @unsettled_pod.